I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome to KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis here with you. And we've got a special guest for today, Jesus Flores. That's right, Flores, not Torres, folks. Had to get that corrected from last week's debacle. We're going to do Cowboys chat with him today. Talk a lot about the upcoming Week 1 game against the New York Giants. And then we're going to sum up the show today. The second segment is going to be the Rangers. We're going to talk Peyton Manning throwing 7 stinking touchdowns last night. And in the show with the college scoreboard and the games to watch this weekend. So first, Jesus, let's just talk Cowboys. I know you're Cowboys beat writer for Rant Sports, rantsports.com. I also work for them. I'm the Houston Texans beat writer. But
the old Texans.
Yeah, but you're a lot closer to home here. You're a lot more Texans. Relevant to us. Let's talk Cowboys.
Okay.
First, what can you tell us about the game against the Giants this week?
Okay, well, you know, the Cowboys haven't beat the Giants at what's now called AT&T Stadium since the stadium opened. So, here lately they've done real bad at home against the Giants. Luckily for the Cowboys, though, in the home opener, they're undefeated against the Giants. So I'm guessing, I hope that, you know, they continue that tradition and finally go ahead and beat the Giants at home.
That'd be nice.
And you know, kick off the season with a bang.
Right. So we didn't win that last game at the old Cowboy Stadium against them either, did we?
No.
So we're like, what, 0-4, 0-5?
0-5 against the Giants.
Oof.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. You'd think in Dallas we could get it together. I don't know. All right, well, who do you think is your most valuable player for this game?
I would have to say, it's got to be Tony Romo.
Okay.
I don't see how anybody else would be. You know, the offense relies solely on him to move.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, until I see a running game from the Cowboys, I can't assume that it's going to change. It's going to stay Tony Romo, and it's going to be Tony Romo going forward. You didn't pay him all those millions of dollars for him not to be the guy who runs your offense. And, you know, until they prove me wrong, I'm going to continue to say Tony Romo's going to be either their greatest weakness or their greatest strength. You know what I mean?
Right. So do you think he's going to be the least valuable player of the game too?
If they get behind it, you know, it could easily turn into one of those games like we saw against the Bears last year where, you know, he's the one moving you up and down, but at the same time, he's the one costing you, you know, with the turnovers and just, you know, overall just bad play.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think you're going to be paying attention to most during this game?
The state of the offensive and defensive lines.
Okay.
You know, this offseason, and it's actually been for quite a while now, not just this offseason, the Cowboys have, or Jerry Jones in general, isn't one to put much investment into the offensive or defensive lines. He likes skill positions. He likes players that sell jerseys. He's a businessman, right?
Right.
So I can't say that I blame him there, but as the GM of the team, you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to put together a team that competes, and you can't build a team from the outside in. It's like building a house from the roof down. It's just, it's not going to work out, and it hasn't worked out in 18 years, and you know, I think some of that is changing with Jason Garrett being at the helm. We've seen Jerry Jones draft 2 offensive linemen in the last 3 drafts in the first round with you know, Travis Frederick this year and Tyron Smith a couple of years ago. And it appears that they're moving in the right direction. But, you know, 18 years is a lot of time to try to make up in just 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking to see how the offensive line comes together and, you know, how the defensive line will look with all that depleted depth along that So if they can't get pressure on Eli Manning, it's going to be a long day.
Right, yeah. I know that in the offseason and before the draft, Jerry Jones talked about being so deep at defensive line, and now we're on the other side of the draft about to start the regular season, and there's pretty much nobody but DeMarcus Ware. I mean, everybody else is hurt.
Everybody's been hurt, and, yeah. And you know, I don't know why the Cowboys can't catch a break. No pun intended there, because, I mean, yeah. They're catching plenty of breaks, but they can't seem to catch a break when it comes to injuries.
Right.
You start off the season projecting that DeMarcus Ware is going to be your left end. Next to him, you're going to have Jay Ratliff, Jason Hatcher, and Anthony Spencer.
It's not too bad.
You know, on paper, that looks really good. Mm-hmm. You know, Spencer's coming off of a great year. I think Hatcher is one of the more underrated players on that defense, you know. And, and then you got the two Pro Bowlers, almost, or one three-time Pro Bowler, one All-Pro, you know what I mean, and DeMarcus Ware. And on paper, they look good, but these guys are all hurt. They haven't practiced. You haven't seen that lineup yet. Mm-hmm. Backups are getting hurt. Now you're picking guys off the street and putting them back in. They're kind of like they did last year. I know Rod Marinelli can work miracles, but it may be asking entirely too much of him to just start grabbing guys off the street again.
Right.
But, you know, they just traded for, his name is escaping me, Caesar Rayford from the Indianapolis Colts, and he's a special teams guy. Okay. Big old 6'7", 270-pound defensive end. Mm. His claim to fame is blocking field goals. Blocking field goals, blocking kicks. I guess he's got, you know, a really good vertical, but
right.
Dude went undrafted, played in the CFL, made a name up for himself playing special teams, signed with the Indianapolis Colts this offseason. Cowboys trade a conditional pick over to him because he's so big, you know, he fits better as a defensive end than as an outside linebacker in the 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
This preseason, through four games with the Colts, he had 5 sacks, 11 tackles, and 2 forced fumbles.
Wow.
So you're looking at a guy that in little short spurts, he could be pretty good for the – I mean, he may be one of those guys that, you know, the Cowboys have a weird way of finding undrafted guys that just become NFL superstars.
Tony Romo. Yeah.
You got Romo, you got Miles, you got, some of those guys.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, who do you think is going to improve the most from last year's team?
The transition to the 4-3, huh? I think Sean Lee, without a doubt.
Okay.
You put Sean Lee in a position where the defensive tackles are protecting him now. He's no longer having to, find the ball carrier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, he's going to find the ball carrier as a linebacker. That's his job. But he's no longer having to be the guy that comes up and puts a hit on the fullbacks, on anybody out there trying to block him. So that's gonna prolong his career, I think. Because now you're allowing the tackles to, to protect him from the guards, protect him from the center, and allow him to just find the ball carrier. He's no longer having to take on the first block or the, mm-hmm. Trying to move around 300-pound guards. So I think he's definitely going to benefit the most from the switch to this 4-3. It's pretty much the defense that they ran in Chicago. If you recall the way Rod Marinelli was moving Brian Urlacher around and putting him in places where he can make plays on the ball and get interceptions. Now, Urlacher's a lot bigger than Lee is, but I think Lee's ball skills are way better than Urlacher's could ever be.
Yeah.
This kid just has a way of finding the ball, and I think he's going to benefit a lot from the switch to the 4-3.
Okay. Who do you think is has more of a shot to compete with a J.J. Watt for defensive MVP, DeMarcus Ware or Sean Lee or somebody else on the defense?
On the Cowboys defense?
Yes.
I think that has to go to D. Ware.
Okay.
Because you're no longer asking him to drop back in coverage. You're asking him to do what his specialty is.
Yeah, sack people.
Rush the passer, sack the quarterback.
Mm.
So, now he's rushing the passer on 3 downs as opposed to 1 or 2 under Rob Ryan, which that I never understood why he did that. You know, it'd be 3rd down. You would expect, I guess maybe he wanted to be unpredictable and not send Ware and make people think, oh, well, he's got one of the best pass rushers. He's going to send him and then at the end pull him back and drop him into coverage. But when you have arguably the best pass rusher in Cowboys history. Use him as he was designed to be used.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's it's kind of, it was head scratching at times last year. So, yeah, if there's anybody that can, if there's anybody on the Cowboys defense that can come close to J.J. Watt as being the defensive player of the year, and, you know, J.J. Watt is a really good player, it would probably be DeMarcus Ware.
Okay. You think there's any chance that Ware could get that 22 and a half sack record that, what's his name?
Is it Strahan?
Yeah, Michael Strahan owns. You think they could get
good
close to that?
Good old Michael Strahan.
Old gap tooth.
Oh, yeah. Do I think it's possible? Yeah, I think it's very possible.
Okay.
You know, depending on health, it all comes down. Did DeMarcus Ware, is he going to be okay from that shoulder and elbow injury that he suffered last year?
Right.
You know, is he going to get help? Are we gonna, one thing that I didn't like, you know, prior to them moving to the 4-3, was that all the pass rush that the Cowboys had seemed to come from DeMarcus Ware and DeMarcus Ware only.
Mm-hmm.
If that's going to be the case in the 4-3 or in this Tampa 2 defense that relies on pass rushing from all four spots, it's going to be real bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all they got to do now is just double DeMarcus and, you know, who else is going to get to the quarterback?
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a lot of intangibles and a lot of little things that go into getting DeMarcus Ware that record, but I do think he can get it. I really do.
Okay. Tony Romo, do you think he's going to have a great year, an average year, or a terrible year?
NFL MVP.
NFL MVP. Okay. Put it down on the big board of predictions, Jordan.
I actually just wrote an article about that. They were talking to Dez Bryant.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you gentlemen heard Michael Irvin say that Dez Bryant would be NFL MVP.
Okay.
Well, they asked Dez Bryant, you know, how do you feel about being, you know, about Michael Irvin saying that you're going to be the NFL MVP? And, of course, Bryant is not a dumb kid.
Right.
He's smart. He said, well, that'd be easy if I was a quarterback. You know, there's a reason why there's no wide receiver MVP ever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he went on to say that he believes Tony Romo has got the skills and he's got, you know, the playmaking ability and he's got the tools to be NFL MVP. I do too. I believe it. You look at this offense and it's stacked with talent.
Right.
If I had to pick one spot that I'm really unsure of, it would definitely be just the right guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think along the offensive line, you got Free. He showed up this year. You know, he's humbled. Hey, man, you know, you're not doing a good job. We're going to need you to take a pay cut. So he took his pay cut. He took it like a man, and you know, he's playing a lot better.
Right.
You got Frederick. I'm really excited about Frederick. I think, you know, for where he was taken and the 31st pick, I think, you know, that was I think that's perfect because there were teams looking at him, and I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have lasted till the second round. So, you know, if you like a guy in the draft, you go get him. And the Cowboys liked him. They went and got their guy, and I like him because I think he's going to be the anchor of that offensive line for some time to come. You know, over next to him, you got Ron Leary, who is an undrafted guy, but, you know, he showed up and made Nate Livings expendable, and that's why he's no longer with the team. And then, of course, you got Tyron Smith. You know, Tyron Smith is Tyron.
Yeah.
Ninth overall pick back, you know, 3 years ago. And so he's gonna be protecting Romo's blind side. And then you look at the skill positions, you got Dez Bryant. I mean, if he can pick up where he left off last year, my God, you're talking about one of the best receivers in NFL history. Now, the only thing that I have against Dez Bryant is that he's inconsistent. There's times where he will show up and he'll look great. And then there's times where he'll just disappear.
Drop a ball here and there.
And, you know, you need him to be, if he's going to be considered a great receiver, he needs to be far more consistent. Of course, injuries help play a lot into, you know, his inconsistencies. Same thing with Miles Austin, where, you know, he's battling hamstring injuries. You got Witten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Witten's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Murray. You throw in there the additions of wide receiver Terrence Williams and, you know, another tight end and Gavin Escobar. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a lot of firepower.
Yeah. On paper, they're a scary team for sure.
Great in fantasy, man.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, I saw you react a little bit to that MVP. What do you think of that?
It's cowboy talk. That's why I'm over here quiet.
Because you're Pittsburgh
Steelers
shooter.
Fan. Steelers fan over.
I'm not even going to say a Steelers going to be MVP. Peyton Manning threw seven touchdowns with no picks yesterday.
Right.
And he's going to sit here and say Romo's going to be the MVP.
Peyton also played a very depleted Ravens defense.
That's true.
That was playing in high altitude and was tired.
Seven touchdowns, though.
He threw five in the second half. Against a tired defense.
It was an amazing performance, though.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
I don't see Romo throwing seven touchdowns with no picks.
He's thrown five or six a couple of times, I think.
But he had at least one or two picks.
No, did he? He's had some games with picks. Yeah. But at this point in his career, he's got less picks than Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
so.
It is true.
But I do give it.
More yards, more touchdowns, less interceptions.
I'm looking at the Cowboys team, and I'm saying, okay, no doubt the Cowboys have talent.
Talent on paper, man.
When you get these players in a game, like, can they come together as a team? That was the main problem I saw with the Cowboys last year. They had a whole bunch of talent. They had weapons, but it just seemed like at times it was like, okay, I'm going to get my stats up instead of let me take this dive for the team. Let me help block so he can get his extra yard. That's what I'm seeing from the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You have all this talent, but if you have talent and then people are – you know, low-key trying to get shine themselves, you're not going to have a good team. Like, even on defense, the Cowboys' defensive line should have more sacks than a lot of other NFL teams that do, because they have big players, they have fast players, but they're not disciplined. Like, their defense is not disciplined at all. Like, you see somebody like, let's take, for instance, the Steelers' defense. We may not have the firepower on defense, but we're disciplined. We can still, you know, Cowboys got beat off penalties last year. So many false starts, so many this, so many that. It's like the little things, and it takes coaches to get in the player's system. Okay, we're paying y'all a lot of money, but still, the little things is what kill the Cowboys. It's not all Romo's fault all the time. The corners, sometimes they slack so hard, and I picked them to beat the Giants because the Giants is like depleted times two. They have no secondary. Yeah. They have no defense whatsoever. Mm. Their best receiver is hurt. He's still walking around in a boot.
Yeah, Victor Cruz.
You think Nix is better than Cruz?
Well, last year he didn't show it.
Shown it in a couple of years.
And then I know they was mad that Martellus Bennett, out of all the people, went to New York and started shining because he didn't do nothing for the Cowboys.
Yeah, no Martellus Bennett, and that's exactly what you're talking about, those inconsistencies. Individually, they have a bunch of really good players.
Yeah.
Together, I don't know what I mean?
I just don't know. I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's like they're getting a lot of...
looks like the Lakers from last year.
Yeah. Right.
It's like they're getting a lot of middle sections of the puzzle, but they're not getting those corner
pieces. I think
this
might be Jason Garrett's last year. If they go 8-8 again, I think he's out.
Oh, for sure. If they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, he's out because I think Jerry is kind of tired of it.
Well, let's talk about the odds for the Cowboys to make the playoffs. First, Jesus, what's your odds for the Cowboys to actually make the playoffs this year?
The NFC East is down. Mm-hmm. I think the... aside from the Redskins, I don't think the Giants and the Eagles are going to be pretty – or I don't think they're going to be good at all, to tell you the truth. I think the Eagles are a top five pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Giants, they may be, you know, they may be in that 8-8, 7-9, 9-7.
Right.
I think the Redskins are the team to beat in this division right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know – I think if the Cowboys do make the playoffs, it's going to have to be by winning the division. I don't think they get in as a wild card. You got good teams like Chicago. Mm-hmm. Of course, I think Green Bay is going to take that division. But you got Chicago up there. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, you got the South with New Orleans and
Atlanta.
And you know, let's not count out, you know, Cam Newton's playmaking abilities.
Yeah, Carolina could
sneak in.
They defense play like they did their preseason game. Carolina will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I like what their coach is doing on defense.
Yeah, their coach let them play. Like, hey, go out there and make some plays.
Yeah. Well, so just percentage, what do you think is the chance that the Cowboys make the playoffs?
Jeez, I don't know that I can throw a percentage at them. Honestly, not.
I give them 60%.
Very good at math.
As long as they can beat the Giants and the Eagles on a consistent basis this year, I give them 60%. They'll get a wild card.
Okay. What do you think?
They need to sweep the Eagles.
Yeah.
They need to sweep the Giants and at least split with the Redskins.
Right. Yeah.
When I first looked at the schedule way back when it first came out, to me, on paper, this is an 11-5 team that can win this division.
So that's
I have that much confidence in the changes that they've done. I like what they're doing with the with the running game. What I didn't account for was injuries. Mm-hmm. I figured, there's no way that injuries could hit us as hard as they did last year. I mean, last year we lost 7 starters on defense.
Yeah.
We lost starters on offense. Had the Cowboys managed to beat the Redskins, and this is crazy because Cowboy fans don't like to think about this. Had the Cowboys managed to beat the Redskins in that game at the end of the season last year, your starting wide receivers would have been Ogletree at the 1.
Oh, God.
Harris at the 2. Oh. Beasley at the 3.
Jeez. Yeah. That would have been
That would have been a 4-12 season.
It would have been bad.
Yeah. Man. I don't even want to think about that. Well, so making the playoffs is one thing. You say 11-5 season, but we know that Tony Romo only has 1 playoff win in his entire career. You think he gets that second one this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Against who?
And against whoever you put in there. Against whoever you put in there. We're talking about a team that lost 5 games by a touchdown or less last season with all the injuries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're talking about a guy who put up nearly 5,000 yards and threw for 29 touchdowns. If the defense holds, a lead here, let's say the game against the game against New Orleans where Romo went off for 403 yards and 4 touchdowns, they lost that game.
Yeah.
That was sad because New Orleans Saints last season.
You know what I mean?
I don't think people understand.
They weren't very good.
They had the worst defense in NFL history.
Yeah.
They lost that game. The game against the Ravens, there were special teams a tackle away from winning that game. You stop Jacoby Jones on that special teams kick, you win that game.
Wow. And
it's little tiny things that the Cowboys haven't found a way to do.
Right.
And I do think that with the addition of Monty Kiffin, the addition of Rod Marinelli, some of these guys that are experienced, that are old school guys, I think that's going to help Jason Garrett. And now that he doesn't have to worry about calling plays because Bill Callahan is going to do that, he can keep his eye on the whole project. He doesn't have to focus in on, I know this is going on defense, but I got to worry about calling plays, and I can't pay attention to that right now. So I'm going to rely on Rob Ryan to know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, hopefully.
And now you're relying on Monty Kiffin, who does know what he's doing. He's a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
you got Rod Marinelli, who knows what he's doing, who's going to be helping Monty Kiffin do his job. You got Bill Callahan doing his thing.
Yeah.
So Jason Garrett can do the small things like time management. Like, okay, you know what? Let me hold you accountable because you just fumbled like you did with Murray. Mm-hmm. You know what, Romo? You're not doing it today. Let me pull you out.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And that's what I want to see that from Garrett. I want to see him hold his players accountable. You guys saw that little video that leaked out, right, about when he's sitting there addressing the team. Did you guys get a chance to catch that?
I did not.
No, I didn't.
No.
He's going off on the team, and, it's a side of Jason Garrett that people have never seen.
Right.
Because they see the Jason Garrett, the professional Jason Garrett in front of the media talking to him. What they don't see is the fiery Jason Garrett behind the scenes, yelling at his guys, getting on their tails. When I got to go to Valley Ranch I actually got a chance to interview him. He's completely different with the media than he is with the players during practice. During practice, I'm telling you this, he's running up and down the sidelines, yelling at guys and getting in their, getting in their faces, grabbing them by the face mask, telling them, do your job.
Right.
And so a lot of people don't see that. And so they think, They use that Twitter logic. Oh, he's getting, he's a cupcake. He's soft.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But when you look at the way he's building this team, the last 3 drafts have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing in quality guys that he calls the right kind of guy. And you even see it with Dez Bryant's maturation, you know what I mean? He's starting to take that shape. He kind of, like, their attitude kind of resembles what Jason Garrett is.
Mm.
Now you just need him to execute on the field.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of got on a ramble there.
No, that's all right. Hey, that's what we brought you in here for, is to talk.
You're the Cowboys expert.
Yeah, be the Cowboys expert. Well, let's just talk a few more odds. What about advanced the NFC Championship? You think that's possible this year?
Against teams that, like, I have Atlanta.
No, they're not beating Seattle. They're not beating San Francisco. They know where they're.
If they do, okay. let's say it has to be either if they're playing Atlanta or Seattle. Mm. I think the Cowboys can beat those two teams.
Okay.
I don't think they can beat the 49ers with Kaepernick right now, though. Mm-hmm. Although they did, they were the only ones, I guess, that beat them that one year.
That didn't count.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know.
Right. You think they can beat Seattle Seahawks with Russell?
Yeah, I think they can beat, yeah.
Okay, Russell's smarter than Kaepernick.
Seattle's got a great defense. Their offense is still kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's still kind of iffy. But I feel as though if the Cowboys can beat the Redskins and contain Robert Griffin, because that's the only Achilles heel for the Cowboys. Let's face it. If Kirk Cousins was playing for the Redskins, the Cowboys would win. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but he's not Robert Griffin.
Right.
Any team that can beat the Redskins and find a way to beat Robert Griffin can beat the 49ers. The only thing about the 49ers is they have a complex playbook. They can attack you through many other ways because they have speed and they have now Anquan Boldin, they have some size.
Yeah.
So Kaepernick by himself is not that hard of a quarterback. If you think about it, he's like a little bit finesse than Robert Griffin. So you put speed around him, of course it's going to be hard to defend him. But I think if you put the Cowboys against a defense like the Seahawks, where the, you know, they don't have no fullback now, they running a fullbackless offense. I mean, you're going to have to depend on some of them tight ends that they got and some of them other players. To that front line of Seattle has improved. They got Cliff Avril, and they got the rest of the defense back.
Yeah.
I mean,
Richard Sherman's insane.
I think the Cowboys
it's
have a better chance of winning.
Amazing that he was a fourth-round pick.
Exactly. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't understand the NFL sometimes.
Yeah.
But if the Cowboys are on the road, they have a better chance of winning, going to the Super Bowl. And that's crazy. Because they play better on the road. I don't understand why the Cowboys play better on the road.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it just depends on what team gets hot. You know what I mean? You saw with the Giants, both of the Giants Super Bowl runs, they got hot and went on the road and just.
That made a lot of people mad. That made me mad. Because the Giants don't ever look like they're supposed to be nowhere near that.
No, my buddy calls them the most trash team to ever win the Super Bowl.
They
twice.
Are.
Twice.
Well, I mean, after yesterday, the Ravens.
Yeah. You think about like the Buffalo Bills teams that went four straight seasons.
Four straight.
And I think they were much better than the Giants teams that have won the Super Bowl. And they never won the Super Bowl.
And they ended up beating the Patriots.
Patriots twice.
Like, I don't understand. You can beat every team in the NFL twice. Yeah. And you lose to this team all the time. Like, so with the Cowboys, how do you lose against the Giants?
And the Patriots had beaten them, right? They had just beaten them to finish the season, and then they went in that playoff run and ended up getting whooped in the
I don't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. The NFL doesn't make sense sometimes. I don't think even NFL experts, quote unquote, know what they're talking
about.
It's unpredictable. It's unpredictable.
Yeah. Any NFL team any day can come out and win against another team.
Oh, yeah.
The Cleveland Browns can come beat the New England Patriots if they want to.
Oh yeah, and it comes down to execution.
Yeah.
That's ultimately
as long as you execute. You gotta think about it. Your players just as big as the other team players.
Yeah.
And y'all have big players too.
And they're just as skilled or they wouldn't be in the NFL. You know what I mean? They would not be in if the talent level was that big of a drop off from, say, the Patriots to the Browns, the Browns wouldn't be in the NFL.
The Jaguars wouldn't be either.
Yeah. Oh, the Jaguars. Don't even get me started on them. Well,
I think they pick up Tebow. I'm putting that out there.
That's where he should have went all along.
Yeah. That's his home. He should have been there.
God.
Anyway, just one more question for you, Jesus, before we take a break. Is there any chance we're going to get another Cowboys player on here, former or current or anything like that? Another coach?
I can reach out to the person that made the Jay Novacek interview happen, and you know, I guess the sky's the limit. I'm pretty sure we can land someone else. I know some of those guys normally reach out to the media, and the media reaches back out to them to try to get them to talk to us. So let me talk to some people. We'll see if we can make something happen.
All right, that'd be cool. All right, well, we're going to take a break. This is KETR's Locker Room, and we will be back in just a moment.
Here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a pep talk that can motivate you. sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You can improve your future. Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life. Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need, we've got a pep talk for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and for free classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every day you hear our announcers say, support for programming is made possible in part, and then mention the names of local businesses and nonprofit organizations. These groups already know the value of the KETR audience. If you'd like to learn what these folks already know, call 903-513-9684 today.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Jesus Torres still in the studio.
You did it again.
Flores, I'm sorry. just crucify me. It's all my fault. But Jesus Flores, I'm going to get it. It's there.
One day, Coop.
One of these days. All right, well, let's get back on the show. First, Rangers lost 2-3 at Oakland this last week, but Oakland lost last night to the Houston Astros, of all people. So are all teams. So there's still a half game behind Texas right now. The Rangers have a half game lead over the A's. So tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, the Rangers play at the Angels with Garza pitching tonight, Holland tomorrow, and an undecided pitcher on Sunday. It'll probably be either Perez or maybe Blackley, who we got from the Astros. So what do you guys think of this losing 2-3 against Oakland and Yu Darvish being the big cause of one of those losses?
I told you so.
You told me so?
I said on the show, I actually told Taylor.
Okay.
The Rangers are like every other Texas team. When they get hot and they're good. Mm-hmm. When they get cold, they're frozen cold and they're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
For so long, the Rangers have depended on Yu Darvish. And if you depend on somebody for so long, eventually they are just going to get tired. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rangers desperately need another pitcher to step up. Yu Darvish cannot do this all by himself. This shows you that one man cannot lead a team to victory every time.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Oakland A's, yeah, they may seem like they've been out, but their pitching is the reason why they're still tied for first. Mm-hmm. Like, their pitching always comes through for them. Their bats suck at times. But their pitchers are consistent enough for them to win. The Rangers are too inconsistent. That's the main issue.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that? The pitching in Texas is what's keeping them in first place.
Yeah.
Well, I've waited.
It's been a long time.
I've waited about 22 years to hear that.
Yeah.
that
my whole life.
That is something.
Yeah. Well, we got three games against the Angels, as I said. Garza, maybe he comes back around and starts pitching like what we're paying him to pitch.
Like the guy we thought we were getting.
Yeah, and then Holland, you know, his games are always a toss-up, always 50-50. Undecided pitcher, I don't know who's going to win that game, although Perez, over the last month, was 5-0 with under a 3.0 ERA, got the pitcher of the month.
How impressive has that kid been?
Yeah, he's been really good. And then after the Angels, we've got a six-game homestand, three against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are, I think, the biggest surprise of this decade, and three against Oakland again, and that'll end the Oakland series. So, 21 games left for the Rangers. What do you guys think is their chance to make the playoffs?
I honestly think, and I'm going to make a lot of people mad, the A's are going to win the division.
Okay.
And the Rangers are going to get in as a wild card.
That one-game wild card playoff.
Playoff again. And I feel like some way, somehow, the Rangers will manage to make the playoffs and make a run again.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the AL, and the only team that I honestly see that can really just beat the Rangers is my beloved Red Sox, because we're on a roll. And,
right.
I mean, other than that, the AL is really wide open. I mean, you got them, you got the Rays. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are not going to make it, so you ain't got to worry about them. The Orioles not going to make it. Really, the best team in the AL to me right now is between these two teams in Boston. I think that may be the AL championship.
I think Detroit could be there too.
But if they ain't got Cabrera, I don't think they can do it.
Okay.
Because other than Scherzer, Verlander has been horrible this season.
Yeah.
All the other pitchers have been horrible. Other than Scherzer and Cabrera, the Tigers don't have nobody.
Yeah.
So if Cabrera is still growing, his groin is still hurt, and he's not playing like he's playing, what he been doing, I think the Rangers can beat the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And they have.
Yeah, they have I'm pretty sure they have the season series right
so,
now.
So, I mean, if the Rangers play the Tigers, that's not going to be an upset, but I don't see the Tigers without Cabrera just making it that far. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it.
Okay. What do you think, Jesus?
I'm right there with Jordan. I do think the A's are the better team right now.
Right.
And it sucks because, you know, I'm a Rangers fan. I don't like to admit these things, but, you know, the A's find a way to win. They're like the Tim Tebow of baseball.
Out of nowhere.
Find a way to win.
Right.
You know, and you can hate the style in which they do it. You can criticize that they don't do it the way they're supposed to do it, and it's not it's not conventional, but they find a way to win, and that's, you know, Ron Washington preaches that, and he came from that A's organization. You know, he preaches that same thing: find a way to win, get it done, don't make excuses. But I just don't think the Rangers did enough, at the trade deadline or before the season started to really make me believe that this is a World Series caliber team. So
yeah,
I think that they get into that one game playoff game. They may or may not win it, just depending on what offense shows up that day. Because there's days where they come out and put up 20 runs, and then there's days when they get just shut out
or none or one. It's just I don't know. Like, you know, baseball is one of the most unpredictable sports to call anyway.
For sure.
So, you know, they can play like this right now and then get to the playoffs and play error-free baseball. And then, once again, they're in the World Series again. Yeah. So, I mean, the Rangers is just, as long as they make the playoffs, I mean, fans always have hope. Because the Rangers always seem to pull something out of the hat to win.
Yeah, when it looks the worst.
Yes, like you remember that 3-game series where they hit home runs to end every game?
Yeah.
Only the Rangers.
Against the Angels.
Only the Rangers.
LOLs.
Yeah. Only the Rangers. Only them.
Well, let's put it down on the big prediction board right now. At this point, with 21 games left in the season, who do you guys have playing for the AL championships, the NL championships, and the World Series?
AL championship is going to be Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these two teams. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like if Oakland gets on a run, it's going to be hard to beat them because they play such a rough, they're like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of baseball. Like, they win dirty and nasty, and their scores are just ugly, but they win.
Mm-hmm.
So AL is going to be them too. In the NL, the Braves are just beating everybody. They're just, like, totally beating everybody. So if they don't make it, it's going to be like, why y'all didn't make it? So I got the Braves making it in the NL.
Mm-hmm.
And then, check this out, I got the Pirates making it to the NL championship.
Wow.
I really do.
I do, too.
Out of, like, two decades of misery?
2 decades of misery. They finally find some type of sunshine. I think they get to the NL championship, but I don't think they go to the World Series. I'm not finna jump on that wagon just yet.
Right.
I'm glad that they're winning, because, God, 20 years, that's a long time of losing.
Yeah.
You saw how excited they was when it was like, yes, we finally have a winning season.
We're guaranteed a winning season.
Guaranteed, no matter what happens. They can lose every game. These last 21 games, they'll still have a winning season.
Yeah.
But I think the Pirates can get to the NL championship.
Okay. What about you, Jesus?
Just like Jordan said, you know, Boston has looked so good this year.
Yeah.
The additions they made, during the offseason with, adding Knapp was, I know he strikes out a lot, but adding Knapp, he's a clubhouse guy.
Well, and talk about your turnaround. I mean, they were the worst team in the AL last year.
Worst to first. You see how we beat the Tigers the other day, 20-4.
And, I'm not going to not count Detroit in this race, because they're a good team. When they're clicking, they're hard to beat too.
That's true.
You said AL championship.
Yeah.
Give me Boston and give me Oakland.
Okay.
That'll be a good series.
I think Oakland is gonna
take the Rangers out.
They've been knocking on the door. They've been knocking on the door for a while. I think this is the year they kick that baby down.
All right. What about the NL?
The NL. You know, I don't watch a lot of NL baseball, but I want the LA Dodgers to do good. I want the LA Dodgers.
I forgot about the Dodgers. Yeah, it could be the Dodgers and the Braves.
The Dodgers are a very good team right now.
Or the Dodgers and the Pirates. That'd be more entertaining.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh versus LA.
East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, that'd be more entertaining.
I'd like to see the Dodgers and the Red Sox in the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the Rangers on each team. You know, you got Mike Young out in LA now.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, Knapp over here with the, well, you got Knapp, you got Dempster, you got Saltalamacchia, you got a bunch of Rangers up over here
former
on the
Rangers, yeah.
They saw the light.
On the Red Sox, and it's either I don't know that they saw the light as much as, you know, the Red Sox organization said, you know what, these guys are still pretty good players, and Texas doesn't want them more, we're going to bring them in. I would hate to see Mike Young retire without that ring, man. I really would, so.
Yeah.
He's one of those players, like, he reminds me of Jeff Bagwell. Yeah. I always wanted to see Jeff Bagwell get a ring.
Yeah.
Always. He did everything for the Astros.
Right.
Even the Dodgers.
Well, everything. here's my prediction, guys. Going to put it up big letters on the board.
God. Get ready.
We got, I'm going to go NL first.
Okay. Right.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh for sure makes NL championship. For sure. And I think it's going to be either the Dodgers or the Braves. I'm going to go ahead and say the Dodgers. East Coast, West Coast thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Neither of these teams have made the NL championships in forever.
Yeah.
So that'll be good classic baseball. We're going to get to see Magic Johnson on national television a lot as the owner of the Dodgers. And then let's hop on over to the AL. I think the Red Sox easily make it.
I think
whoever they play, unless it's the Rangers... they really whoop up on them, and I say unless it's the Rangers because
Boston has a hard time beating the Rangers.
Yeah, they do.
For some reason, I don't know. That's like our kryptonite.
But Boston or the Rangers are to Boston what Seattle is to the Rangers.
Yeah,
we cannot beat Seattle.
You know why y'all can't beat Seattle? I'll tell you why. Every time the Rangers play Seattle, and I've seen the game at Lone Star, they like, man, this team's sorry.
Yeah,
we can easily beat this team. And every game, they just whoop the daisy, and the Mariners just beat them every time. It's like that's the one team y'all do not respect for some reason.
They need to.
But when y'all play the Blue Jays, y'all play hard. But when y'all play them, it's like, man, it's the Mariners.
Right.
The Mariners.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put my other team. I'm still going to keep the faith. I think the Rangers can make it to the AL championships. I think they're going to get that wild card spot. They're going to have to play that one tough game and get that one wild card spot. If they can get that game, I say they make it to the AL championships. I think they can take anybody in a series. I don't know about one game.
But in a series, you got a point. So, in a series,
who do you think makes the other wild card? Who do you think they're going to play in the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's going to be Tampa Bay because I don't think
more than likely
the Yankees aren't going to make it. No. I don't think the Orioles are close enough to make a comeback.
No. The Indians are not going to make it.
Yeah, Cleveland won't make it. Too far back.
So I think it's the Rangers and the Rays in a one game playoff, and the Rangers have had the Rays number for a while too.
But if the Rays send out their best ace, Dude Darvish is going out there for sure.
Yeah, and
who would they send out? Price? Is that
probably?
No, it's Moore. Matt Moore.
Matt Moore.
Oh, 15-3 this year.
Matt Moore, who shut the Rangers down in his one playoff start.
All right, Cooper. If they send Matt Moore on the mound. You know the Rangers are known for bats disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. That one-game playoff, that's going to determine their season. If they get past that game, I think they can beat anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the Rays, I still think, have the best pitching staff in the league
right now. If they're gone, then.
It's going to be easy selling until they get to the Red Sox. Because Red Sox, people forget we're getting Buchholz back. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of other players back from injury. Yeah. So it's like we're just now clicking.
Right. So let's put it on the board. We got, I think everybody's picked the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You two picked the A's, and I'm going to pick the Rangers on the AL. And then we all picked Pittsburgh for the NL. And I think I picked the Dodgers. Who did you pick? Was the other team?
I picked the Dodgers.
I picked the Braves.
And you picked the Braves. Yeah. So it's Pittsburgh, Dodgers, Boston. I think those are pretty much unanimous. And then I've got the Rangers. They've got the A's. And Jordan said the Braves. So let's do World Series then. Who do we got?
I'm going to take it classic.
Mm-hmm.
And since he said the Dodgers, Well, I stuck with the Braves.
Right.
But I don't like the Braves.
So you're going to go Pittsburgh?
I'm going with L.A. versus Boston.
Oh, so you're going to drop the Braves then?
I'm dropping the Braves because I completely forgot about Puig and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I'm going L.A., Boston. Two of the most historic ballparks. Magic Johnson. You got Big Poppy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a World Series, and I got Boston winning in six in Fenway.
Wow, okay. That'll be a good series to watch.
I'll watch every game of
it. How about you?
I'm going to keep it in the sunny state of California.
Okay, so A's and Dodgers?
Then? A's and Dodgers.
Wow.
Man.
A's and Dodgers?
That'd be a terrible World Series.
That would be California domination.
Yeah. It may be, you know, and regardless of what anybody says, how horrible it would be, people are going to watch.
Yeah.
There is no denying
that. I think that'd be a lot like the, what is it, the Giants and...
Could you imagine?
Like the Mets and the Yankees again.
Yeah. There was a World Series that was the Giants and who was it? The Giants and the A's?
Giants and the A's.
Back in the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
When that earthquake happened.
But the most
recent
one was that Subway Series where the Mets got demolished by the Yankees.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
So you got the A's and the Dodgers then?
A's and Dodgers.
Who do you have winning? How many games?
I don't know. Give me the Dodgers.
I'm going to go seven.
You think seven?
Because the A's are just that grit team. They're going to
grit
and grind.
They are real gritty.
Yeah.
I think that right there, what you just said, would probably make this a really good series because the Dodgers, to me, are a very finesse kind of a team.
Yeah.
And the A's were,
just
you know,
put together
gritty, punch you in the face, yeah, you know, kind of yeah. you know, bring some guys in and just. Yeah.
It's like nasty guys, just big nasty guys.
What is this, Janet Jackson?
Like, I don't understand.
I really hate that I am tooting the A's horn, but I like the way they built that organization.
They built them out of nowhere. Oakland was horrible, like 2 years ago, they was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, they just came out of nowhere and started winning. And then this year, they picked up some more people like Coco Crisp. He fits the Oakland A's. That's the
guys,
face.
Yeah, it's guys that somebody cast off, and you know I'm that kid Cespedes is God Almighty. I love that guy.
The home run derby made me believe in that kid.
Yeah. That kid is insane.
He's young, man. Yes. He's real young.
He has a long career ahead of him. God.
So you got Boston in six over the Dodgers.
Yes,
you've got.
I'm gonna take it. Dodgers in six over
Dodgers
the A's.
In six over the A's.
Yeah, I can't give them the World Series.
I'm gonna go. This is going to sound crazy. I'm going to go Pittsburgh over Boston in six games.
Good stuff.
See, there, Cooper likes to believe in these stories. He likes these Cinderella stories.
I like these big stories.
Yeah, he could tell he was the Boise State fan when that year.
Dude, that game was amazing. I loved that game. Mostly because I hate
Boise
the Sooners
OU,
anyway.
Right? Boise, yeah. Boise OU?
I mean, I've always hated the Sooners, so that game was perfect.
Too. I've never liked the Sooners. That's the one team, them and the Celtics, I just can never cheer for. I'm like, no.
I don't root for them. I don't root against them. They're just the Sooners.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in just about 10 minutes. So, first, Peyton Manning threw seven touchdowns last night, leading the Broncos to a 49-27 victory over the defending Super Bowl champs, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this tied the record touchdown passes for a game. Sid Luckman did it in Chicago in 1943. Adrian Burke did it for Philadelphia in 1954. George Blanda for Houston Oilers in 1961. Yay A. Tittle, that's a weird name. New York Giants, 1962. And Joe Capp for Minnesota in 1969. So this hasn't been done in over 40 years. Now, pretty impressive for Manning. That's the good way to start off the NFL season.
Some great way to start the season.
And now
especially if you're a Broncos fan. You know, these guys are coming in as one of the
true favorites.
Especially after last night.
Without Von Miller, like for him to have a performance like this, that lets you know one thing. He's already in tune with his receivers. And he has a new staff. Let me tell you something. That Julian Thomas kid, that tight end they have.
He's been on the team for, what, 2 years
he's
now?
He's been on the team
he's been hurt.
But, God, really, that kid, he was.
Two touchdowns or three?
He had two touchdowns off five catches.
Yeah.
I was like, where has he been?
Yeah,
he's been hurt.
Like, that could be the new Antonio Gates in the NFL.
He could be. Well,
he's big. He's up there with, you know, he's up there in size with the Jimmy Grahams and Rob Gronkowski.
And he's just as athletic.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
fast.
It's scary. You know Peyton Manning loves tight ends. Look what he did with Dallas Clark.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's going to, I believe, I'm going on a limb here and put this on the board.
It's on the board.
That he's going to be their leading receiver.
Really?
Okay. Over Denarius Thomas. Even though Denarius Thomas was snagging, he's more of a safety valve. Like, he's a bigger target. Peyton is going to rely on him, especially on third down. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to lead the team in catches this year. Might not touchdowns, but catches for sure.
All right. Hmm. Well, we got 26 other games on – not other games, 26 other teams playing. 13 teams play, 13 games. I'm just not talking well. 13 games on Sunday, and then we got two more games on Monday. We got a one Monday night game is the Houston Texans and the San Diego Chargers, and the other one is
that's gonna be horrible.
Do you know the other one?
Washington
Texans,
and
you said Texans Chargers.
Yeah, that's
one. The other one is Washington and Philly.
Yeah.
Oh god. So that's gonna be horrible.
I think
the
Philly game is a little bit more interesting to watch because Chip Kelly's debuting his offense for the first time.
RG3's coming back.
And of course, if you're an NFC East guy like you and I are, you want to see what these teams look like.
Yeah, so you want to see it before we get the Cowboys.
Yep.
Yeah, and then me as a Texans writer, sort of a fan. I think that'll be a fun game.
They're going to kill San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego doesn't have a chance.
They're rebuilding.
That's just a bunch of C-plus players on the team. They're just not going to get a cut.
Yeah. And then we got to talk college football. A lot of big games this weekend. We got number 12 Florida at Miami. That's at 11 a.m. Saturday, so make sure you wake up and catch that game. Then we've got number 6 South Carolina at number 11 Georgia. That's at 3:30. Mm-hmm. That'll be a terrific game. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, CBS is back for all you Time Warner Cable customers. You'll be able to see this game. Then we got Texas at BYU. Texas is number 15, but BYU always plays well. And the Mormons have really, I shouldn't call them Mormons, the Cougars have really had the Longhorns number for a while. Then we got Notre Dame, number 14, at number 17, Michigan. This is the final time that they'll play as of right now. That's a terrible rivalry to lose, but Notre Dame doesn't want to play him anymore. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. Saturday. And then we got to put our lines on there. Sol Ross State comes and plays at the brand-new turf field of Memorial Stadium, the big 50-yard logo. Plays A&M Commerce tomorrow at 6 p.m. So make sure you tune into KETR or go on Fox Sports Southwest. You can catch a free stream of the game and watch the game on there. And going to be a good game. Definitely tune in and watch it.
So tomorrow's the debut of the giant logo?
Yep.
Tomorrow's the debut of the giant logo. Tomorrow's the debut of Coach Carthel and his staff. That's tomorrow's right. The debut of a former Wildcat state championship winning quarterback and graduated high school with me, Tyrick Rawlison, hopefully leading the Lions to a good season this year. He'll be playing at quarterback. And then big Friday night scoreboard program happens tonight on your station starting at 6 p.m. The game will start at 7:30. It's the Commerce Tigers hosting the Cooper Bulldogs. You can also hear all the scores from all across Northeast Texas. And be sure to send your recommendations to either the locker room or call in and say it on the Big Friday Night Scoreboard program for the KETR Locker Room Athlete of the Week. You can also send those recommendations to us on Twitter at KETR Locker Room or via email at KETRlockerroom@gmail.com. That is KETRlockerroom@gmail.com. This winning nomination, for whoever we choose from the recommendations you guys send us, will be interviewed by us each week here on KETR's Locker Room. We like to get the local feel, see what the high school athletes are up to, and we know that you guys love it too because the Commerce High School quarterback that came on here a few weeks ago was by far our most downloaded podcast. So please send us your recommendations. We'd love to talk to your local athletes. They don't have to be football. It can be volleyball, soccer, whatever's going on. Just make sure to call it in and give us that recommendation. So thank you so much for listening this week. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Jesus Flores.
Flores. All right. And this is KETR's Locker Room. We will see you on Tuesday.